Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story. The harvest season is kicking off in the U.S. without a major buyer, China. U.S. soybean farmers are devastated, calling on President Trump to secure a deal with China as soon as possible.
Iowa and Nebraska are really struggling right now with our farm economy. We're not growing markets for corn and soybeans. The president's making a trade.
China announcing it will no longer seek special perks for developing countries in future WTO trade deals. Why is China giving up perks it's had for decades? The United Nations once again denying press credentials to reporters from two U.S.-based media outlets, NTD, which you're watching, and our sister media, The Epoch Times. What the U.N. doesn't want the public to see. And a rising Chinese actor and singer, Yu Menglong, gone overnight. No explanation for his sudden death. And authorities moving to silence online discussions. But many people are pushing past censors, chasing leads into China's top political circles. American soybean farmers are facing a serious hit. The harvest season is underway, but their biggest buyer, China, has yet to place any orders this fall. Instead, traders say China is buying large amounts of soybeans from South American countries, especially Argentina. The president of the American Soybean Association is urging action from President Trump. He spoke to News Nation a few days ago. Take a listen.
The reason we depend so much on this market is China consumes 61% of soybeans produced worldwide. Of the soybeans that American farmers produce, 25% currently have been going to China. And right now, we have zero sold for this crop that's starting to be harvested right now. So it's a five-alarm fire for our industry that 25% of our total sales is currently missing.
The association posted on X Wednesday saying, quote, U.S. farmers cannot wait and hope any longer. It's calling on U.S. trade negotiators to prioritize deals with China. In the post, they also expressed frustration after news that China had signed large orders with Argentine farmers. 2 days ago, Argentina temporarily suspended grain export taxes, a stimulus move to boost the country's sluggish economy. Traders speaking to Reuters on condition of anonymity said Chinese buyers immediately booked at least 10 cargoes of Argentine soybeans after the tax exemption took effect. Each cargo ship will carry over 71,000 tons of beans. A Reuters report notes China had already secured nearly all of its October needs and pre-ordered 15% of its November needs, all from South America, without a single order from the U.S. What's more, Argentina's tax exemption will continue through the harvest season until October 31st. After the exemption expires, Argentina's export tax remains at 26%. That's still lower than the total 34% duty U.S. soybeans face in China, including retaliatory tariffs and other fees. Nebraska Representative Don Bacon has also voiced concern over the situation.
Iowa and Nebraska are really struggling right now with our farm economy. We're not growing markets for corn and soybeans. The president's making trade deals, but not a single country that I can see has bought more corn or soybeans. And that's what we really need right now.
Another concern on U.S. farmers' minds, where to store all their soybeans and whether to reduce production next year. Meanwhile, Taiwan is extending a hand to U.S. farmers. Just last Friday, two Taiwanese agricultural groups signed letters committing to purchasing more than $5 billion in agricultural products from Arkansas and other U.S. suppliers. China says it will give up special treatment for developing countries in World Trade Organization trade negotiations. The change applies only to agreements currently under negotiation and those negotiated in the future, not to agreements that are already in place. China still officially classifies itself as a developing country. The Chinese premier made the announcement Tuesday. What are the special treatments? Developing countries get more time to carry out trade agreements, receive technical assistance from abroad, and are exempt from some rules that richer countries must follow. China has benefited from these special treatments since joining the WTO, despite becoming the world's second largest economy in the past two decades. Its per capita income is close to countries like Thailand and Mexico. President Trump has criticized China's claim to developing country status, and Washington has urged China to give up some of these special treatments. The European Commission welcomed the move, but said China should stop claiming developing country status under existing agreements. Tang Jingyuan, a China affairs commentator, said Beijing is signaling a move to reduce tensions with the U.S. He added Beijing might be giving up these special treatments because they no longer offer the same advantages they once did.
For the Chinese Communist regime, the WTO's special treatment has lost much of its value, especially after Trump bypassed the WTO to launch unilateral tariffs and trade actions against China.
Tang said giving up some of these perks isn't a big loss for Beijing, especially if it can help ease tensions with the West while China faces an economic downturn. Concerns are growing over possible Chinese influence behind the scenes at the United Nations. The UN has once again denied press credentials to multiple reporters from two U.S.-based media outlets, NTD, which you are watching now, and our sister media, The Epoch Times. Epoch Times senior White House correspondent Amal Khan traveled to New York City on Sunday to cover the UN General Assembly with the State Department press pool. A State Department official informed her that the UN had rejected her application, claiming the Epoch Times is a non-governmental organization, not a news outlet. The Epoch Times is the fourth largest newspaper in the United States by subscriber count. Its editor-in-chief accused the UN of caving to censorship pressure from the Chinese Communist Party on American soil. NTD reporters faced similar issues. The Epoch Times was founded in 2000 by Chinese Americans. It was created as a response to censorship and human rights abuses in China. Today, it publishes in 22 languages across 33 countries. The outlet's early staff in China were arrested and tortured, with some sentenced to more than a decade in prison. In 2022, whistleblowers revealed that Chinese Communist Party leader Xi Jinping personally directed state security to intensify efforts against the Epoch Times and NTD. The UN General Assembly is holding its annual gathering to address pressing global issues this week. Several groups showed up outside, hoping to put their concerns on top of the UN's list. NTD's Arlene Richards was on the ground talking with a faith group seeking freedom from persecution.
As various government officials gather from around the world to discuss international policy issues, various other groups have gathered outside, holding signs. I spoke to one group who's asking for help in stopping the Chinese Communist Party from persecuting their faith in China and in the United States.
For over 25 years, the Chinese Communist Party has engaged in a brutal campaign to eliminate the practice. Today, Falun Gong practitioners are calling for the party to be designated as a state terrorist organization.
After July 20, 1999, I was forcibly taken to a mental hospital and detained twice, held in detention centers multiple times, sent to Masanjia labor camp once, and imprisoned once. Under such brutal persecution, I was locked in a cage, severely beaten, and my body suffered tremendous harm. I was beaten into a coma for 3 days and three nights, but they could not destroy my faith because I practiced truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance.
Sam Brownback, who chairs the largest gathering of religious freedom activists around the world, says his group highlights the persecution of people of faith in China, particularly Falun Gong.
It's finally come through to me why the CCP hates Falun Gong so much. They are opposed to all religions. They are at war with religion. The religion they fear the most is Falun Gong. And they fear him the most because it is so natural to China. Falun Gong is what the grandmothers of China have taught their children for centuries. It's basic to Chinese civilization. Civilizations are built on a religion. And the Chinese civilization is built on this really coming together of the Buddhism, Taoism, Confucianism that really Master Li put together in Falun Gong.
Only 7 years after its introduction to the public in 1992, Falun Gong had become the most popular Qigong practice in Chinese history. By 1998, more Chinese people were practicing Falun Gong than there were members of the Communist Party. In July 1999, the CCP started a brutal crackdown, not seen since the Cultural Revolution, including mass arrests and imprisonments, torture, and forced re-education. Many practitioners were forced to flee abroad to various countries, like the United States. And now, some who once enjoyed the freedom to practice their faith are once again living in fear.
In recent years, the CCP has waged propaganda wars, legal battles, and information warfare, forms of unrestricted warfare against Falun Gong, both in the United States and internationally.
The transnational oppression that the Chinese Communist Party is doing is completely wrong. It is illegal in a global community. It's something that should not happen. We should stand aggressively against this. And it's not really even transnational oppression. It's transnational terrorism.
Practitioners also highlighted the CCP's practice of forced organ harvesting, mostly from imprisoned adherents of the faith. One attendee said the forced extraction of organs from practitioners while they are still alive is an unprecedented evil in human history. Arlene Richards, NTD News.
Yu Menglong, a popular Chinese actor, has died suddenly in Beijing. The public is demanding answers. But so far, authorities have not provided any explanation. Instead, they are cracking down on online discussion of the case, with police silencing those who ask questions. Still, people continue digging for clues. Some point to a possible connection between a suspect and Cai Qi, a senior leader in China's ruling Communist Party. The case has gained widespread attention in China and abroad, with people sharing information and trying to uncover the truth behind Yu's death. Here's more.
Yu Menglong, 37, was a Chinese actor with 27 million social media followers and a decade-long scandal-free career. Friends say he was friendly and approachable. Sudden news of his death on September 11th stunned fans in the entertainment world. Videos circulating online reportedly captured Yu's last moments, with one showing him hanging upside down from a window, crying out in pain. The case drew global attention after reports suggested one of the perpetrators was the illegitimate son of a top Chinese political figure, Cai Qi, a current member of China's top ruling committee. Online chatter exploded in China and across Chinese-speaking communities worldwide. The story has sparked over 20 billion online interactions, yet no official media or industry figures in China addressed the case publicly. Even the wife of a prominent Hong Kong entertainment mogul responded during a social media live stream, typing in the chat, quote, "This matter cannot be discussed." Amid public outrage, Chinese police eventually issued a statement on September 21st, claiming Yu died in an accidental fall while intoxicated. Beyond that, details remain scarce. The statement also said three alleged rumor mongers were punished. These rumors included claims that Yu was lured to a powerful figure's party, sexually assaulted, and driven to suicide. Other circulating claims suggested torture, Yu's nails allegedly pulled out, his stomach disemboweled, and he is said to have been thrown from a building. But the most widely discussed claim, Cai Qi's illegitimate son's involvement, was completely left out of the police statement. The official handling sparked public outrage. People are raising more questions about Yu's death. Like, why did attendees at the party wait to sue the alleged rumor mongers until after the police issued a statement while staying silent beforehand? And why Yu ended up jumping to his death from someone else's home after the party? The deregistration of Yu's studio 2 months before his death announcement has also raised serious questions. The studio initially confirmed his death and published a statement from his mother. But records show the studio had been deregistered in July, casting doubt on the legitimacy of the statement and the information it provided. Ordinary people conducting independent investigations say they see similar patterns in other deaths of Chinese celebrities linked to the same entertainment agency as Yu. Now, people in China who are independently digging into the case are focusing on a few key claims. These include reports that Yu was disemboweled before his death and may have swallowed a USB drive containing evidence of Red Elites allegedly using Chinese celebrities to launder money.
Coming up, some YouTube channels that were previously banned will be restored. The company admitted that the Biden administration had urged it to remove content related to the COVID-19 pandemic. Chinese tech powerhouse Alibaba teaming up with U.S. chip giant NVIDIA. NVIDIA is supplying chips to boost Alibaba's AI capabilities, though these are not the company's most advanced ones. And leaked documents totaling over 500 gigabytes revealing how China exporting its censorship and surveillance technology across the globe. More on that after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Google announced on Tuesday that it would reinstate some YouTube channels that were previously banned. The company admitted that it once faced pressure from the Biden administration to remove contents related to the COVID-19 pandemic.
In a letter to the House Judiciary Committee, Google's attorney says former White House officials repeatedly reached out to the company, urging it to take down content that did not violate YouTube's policies. The letter read in part, quote, "It is unacceptable and wrong when any government, including the Biden administration, attempts to dictate how the company moderates content." Going forward, the attorney says YouTube will dispose of policy that restricts content involving the COVID-19 pandemic and election integrity. The new policy would affect well-known commentators, such as FBI Deputy Director Dan Bongino, as well as War Room podcast host Steve Bannon.
Chinese tech powerhouse Alibaba is teaming up with U.S. chip giant NVIDIA. The partnership will focus on expanding global data centers and developing new artificial intelligence products. Alibaba positions AI as a core business priority alongside its traditional e-commerce operations. Let's take a closer look.
Alibaba announced Wednesday it will accelerate its global push for artificial intelligence. The Chinese tech giant said it plans to open its first data centers in Brazil, France, and the Netherlands. Alibaba further said it would expand its current network of 91 areas of operation to 29 regions. The company also said it would partner with US giant Nvidia to develop physical AI capabilities. Investors liked what they heard, and its Hong Kong-listed shares went up around 10% to a four-year high. It comes as Alibaba positions AI as a core business priority alongside its e-commerce operations. Alibaba announced earlier this year plans to invest $53.4 billion in AI-related infrastructure over the next 3 years.
NVIDIA cannot sell its most advanced chips to Chinese companies because of U.S. export restrictions, but it can supply less advanced models, which Chinese firms can still use to develop AI technology. Over 500 gigabytes of leaked documents reveal that China has been selling its censorship technology abroad. According to a team of researchers, a Chinese private firm called the Jige Networks has developed a business model exporting surveillance devices. Here's a closer look.
On the receiving end of these transactions are authoritarian regimes such as in Pakistan, Myanmar, Ethiopia, and Kazakhstan. What's more, the Jige Networks founder, Fang Bincheng, is widely known as the architect of China's Great Firewall, a vast censorship system designed to monitor internet traffic and suppress dissent within China. Here's Congressman John Molinar, who chairs the Select Committee on the Chinese Communist Party.
Behind the Great Firewall, the CCP has the Chinese people trapped in a parallel reality where they are fed a steady stream of propaganda tightly controlled by Xi's authoritarian regime.
The CCP has turned. Today, citizens in China are blocked from visiting foreign websites such as YouTube, Facebook, Wikipedia, thanks to the Great Firewall. Those who use VPNs to bypass the censorship could face punishments such as fines and imprisonment.
Beijing is tightening its grip on online activity. On Monday, China's internet regulator announced a new campaign. The stated goal, curb any content that promotes what they call hostile sentiment in society. But what counts as hostile? The agency warns even critical posts about the slowing economy could be targeted. Here's the story.
The campaign follows recent disciplinary actions against major platforms over content violations. Concerns over negative sentiment has deepened this year as China's economy has struggled, while youth joblessness has remained a pressing issue. The Cyberspace Administration said it would conduct comprehensive inspections of trending topics, content recommendations, and comment sections on social media platforms. The initiative will also target issues that it describes as fabricated information and what it calls rumors about the economy. It will also go after what it labels distorted narratives of incidents and so-called sensational conspiracy theories, posts that hype up pessimism and negativity with claims like hard work is useless or studying is useless will also come under scrutiny.
Poland will reopen its border crossings with Belarus at midnight from Wednesday to Thursday. Authorities closed all crossings 2 weeks ago over security concerns linked to Russian and Belarusian military drills. The exercises included a simulated nuclear strike. The two-week shutdown comes just 2 days after more than 20 Russian drones entered Polish airspace. The closure disrupted a key trade route between China and Europe, carrying nearly $30 billion in goods. It also halted roughly 90% of Chinese rail cargo bound for the European Union. The trade route is part of China's Belt and Road Initiative, a global infrastructure and development project. Critics have called it debt trap diplomacy. While Beijing pressured Poland to reopen the crossings, Polish officials said security remains more important than economic concerns. Polish Prime Minister Tusk also warned that the country would not hesitate to close the border again if tensions rise. That's all for today's China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. If you have any feedback on the show or have something you'd like to see us cover, send us an email at chinainfocus@ntd.com. We'd love to hear from you. For on-the-clock original news coverage, visit us at ntd.com or download our NTD app. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.